We have Pat Heller on when we want to talk about issues of currency, whether it's precious metals or the United States dollar or other forms of currencies. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Tony.
When I heard your piece that you had recorded yesterday and was played on this program, I was I about fell out of my chair because you said something maybe a lot of us don't have the guts to say. You propose a question that maybe people don't have the guts to propose, and that is, is our federal chair, Bert Bernanke, incompetent or a liar or both? Before we dive into that, tell our audience specifically what Mr. Bernanke's job is, what he's supposed to do.
Well, he's chair of the Federal Reserve Board. The mission that he is supposed to be in charge of there has never been settled once and for all. Since 1913, when the Federal Reserve was created, the purpose of the Federal Reserve has changed. Mostly nowadays, it's to try to support the economy, the U.S. economy, and also the jobs creation industry, or jobs creation by the private sector.
What he says, what he does, has such implications for us here in the United States, especially setting those rates. Explain that.
Well, the Federal Reserve policy on interest rates, for instance, works hand in glove with what mortgage interest rates are. And mortgage interest rates has a huge impact on real estate prices.
Go ahead.
The program of quantitative easing too, which is a mask for inflating of the money supply, is basically a process to reduce the value of the U.S. dollar relative to other currencies and the price of gold. That may have some beneficial effects for a short time, but it also has the effect of making foreigners not want to own U.S. dollars and to turn to alternative currencies, including precious metals.
Mr. Bernanke is supposed to be nonpartisan, but from what you know, how he functions, how much of that direction does he get from the White House?
He is pretty much nonpartisan. He was appointed first by President Bush and then supported by President Obama. So he's worked for both. But he focuses more on the, I guess you might say, the federal government perspective rather than the perspective of the people on the street.
All right. In your piece, you accuse him of being perhaps incompetent, perhaps a liar, or perhaps both. Explain.
At the Federal Open Market Committee meeting last Wednesday, which he chairs that meeting, and then the press conference he held afterwards, he admitted that the United States economy is not recovering, as he had been saying for several months was actually happening. He further stated that he did not understand why that was not happening, which is an amazing admission to me, because last summer I was explaining to my customers and readers that there would be a round of quantitative easing. In fact, in October I said it would be adopted the day after the election, which is when it was announced, and that the effects of that, the reduction of the value of the U.S. dollar, the rise in consumer prices, was inevitable. And, you know, a year ahead of time, I could explain what was going on, yet here is the chairman of the Federal Reserve, supposedly with access to lots of research data, saying he didn't understand what was going on. But on top of that, he said, I don't know what's going on, but I know it's only temporary. And then the two pretexts he gave for it being temporary are both incorrect. He said that the reasons it'll be temporary is because Japan will recover from the effects of the earthquake and tsunami in March, even though the problems were developing before that occurred, and that's actually had a fairly small effect on the U.S. economy. So that's not going to have much impact going forward. Plus, Japan's recovery is going to take years rather than going to take just a few months. The second thing that he said is that the price of gasoline is going to go down, and that's going to reduce the core inflation index, rising consumer prices. I don't know whether he forgot or he just doesn't know that the Bureau of Labor Statistics has defined the price of gasoline as not being part of the core inflation statistics.
So if he is incompetent and he is a liar, and just in looking at your reaction, you almost find it comical that a gentleman who has such an important job is deceiving us and not smart enough to look at the numbers. What's that mean for us?
If it wasn't so important, yes, it would be humorous. But what it basically tells me is that Bernanke, as with the all the politicians in Washington, aren't really dealing with the problems facing this country. For instance, the supposed federal budget deficit for fiscal 2010 is $1.4 trillion. But that doesn't include the increase in the liabilities owed for Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid that were incurred during that year but will be paid in the future. So you need to evaluate the present value of that increase in liability as part of the budget deficit. And if you do, I saw one analysis that said the deficit for 2010 was really $7.5 trillion. If you have Congress saying, we're addressing the problems and we're going to reduce the deficit by $750 billion, that sounds like a large number, but that's only 10% of the problem they've got to manage.
We've been talking about this for more than a year, and I know you have some concerns, and it still seems like the can is being kicked down the road. We hear Congress, especially on the Republican side, say that they're going to attack this. They are hesitant to raise the debt ceiling without assurances from the Democrats and from the White House that some stringent measures are going to be taken to pay down this budget deficit. But it still seems like, in all, there's not enough concern and that the issue still isn't being addressed in a fashion that would really showcase to us that they're going to do something.
That's right. The amount of dollars they're talking about are just too small to cure the problem. So it's just going to get worse.
And are the folks in Congress, the Senate, are they looking past this because it's such a big problem and they'll just let someone else handle it? Or do they not understand the enormity of the number, even though it's posted everywhere and updated every second? Or are they incompetent of doing so?
My understanding is that a number of members of Congress do realize the enormity of the fiscal problems from federal government expenditures and debt load, but are pretty much of the conclusion that there's no way you can stop the demise of the U.S. dollar. All you can do is postpone it until they get out of office and it'll be the problem of somebody else.
So they've given up?
A number of them just don't. They won't say it officially, but when they speak privately, they do admit that the problem's gone beyond the point of no return.
You've mentioned to me before that you believe the worst because the problem isn't being addressed. But from your knowledge, what could be done to turn this around to help us in this deficit that we have and to strengthen the U.S. dollar? Let's just say we put you in Bernanke's shoes. What would you do?
I want to try to put the size of the problem in perspective. If the United States' entire economy is about $15 trillion a year in gross domestic product, and you have a federal government deficit that is 50% of that number, you literally can't eliminate half of the economic activity in the United States to fight that. it's just not practical. You obviously would have a lot of civil unrest if you did anything anywhere near approaching the scope of the problem.
So what do we do?
Unfortunately, it's just going to be more of the same. The U.S. dollar is going to decline in the future from where it's at now. The United States government has a vested interest in the value of the dollar falling because that makes it less expensive to repay the debt that it already has. Unfortunately, that's going to be bad news for you and me and the people listening because the dollars in their pocket will be worth less.
Well, from what you're telling me, Pat, this situation is unsolvable and we're headed down the path of doom.
I am fearful, and I don't like thinking about it myself, but I am fearful that the United States dollar as a currency will not survive. You will eventually have something else take its place, but that's not a practical... It will not be a smooth changeover, and I'm scared about that prospect.
When will this happen?
I'd like to think it could keep on being pushed down the road forever, but I think it's just a matter of years now.
Pat Heller is the owner of Liberty Coins. You can read Liberty's Outlook. If people want to read more about the story we've been talking about, Pat, where can they go?
I did write a monthly newsletter called Liberty's Outlook earlier this week that discusses it in more detail. Copies are available in my store. It will be soon posted on my company's website, www.libertycoinservice.com.